Today on ENR's Critical Path podcast, we'll hear the story of a talented young professional who made an extraordinary journey both personally and professionally and found his calling in groundwater. Ruhi Tusi is Director of Engineering at ATEC. He started his career as a consultant and developed a patented data analysis program that maps areas of soil excavation as a remediation tool for contaminated sites. He has managed projects for large utilities, school districts, municipalities, private developers, farmers, water districts, and large consulting firms. Ruhi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Eileen. Thanks for having me here. It is an honor to be presenting anything ENR related. So, thanks for having me here.
Yeah, thank you. It's amazing. We were talking before about the serendipitous moments of chance, right? I ran into you in the lobby of the hotel that was hosting the Western Winter Workshop this February.
True. Yeah. I mean, as we always talk about it, I see it in my life. I am the person I am today because of all the connections I made through life, even given to me, or I made it through life by reaching out, going to networking events and all of that. And right now I'm working at ATEC Consulting, and it was an opportunity that came to my way about 3 years ago at my first ever business conference I've ever attended. And I took a 5-minute break, like the way that we met at the WWW conference. And I took a 5-minute break. I sat in the lobby and there was a lady sitting next to me, and we started a conversation, we hit it off. And now 3 years later, she's my boss. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very interesting how life plays those moments in your life. And when you reflect back, you look at some hard times, some hardships that you went through, or some events that were out of your control, and you're like, oh, maybe they were for my betterment. Maybe they were supposed to happen for me to be the person I am today.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you just seized the moment and made the most out of whatever came your way. Ruhi, you told me the story over dinner a couple months ago, I don't know what time it was, but I want the audience to hear your story of how you emigrated and you had, you found yourself in positions where you had to like literally start from scratch and invent things. So yeah, tell us about your background.
Yeah, for sure. So always growing up, being in a Persian community and dealing with Persian parents, you only have a few career options. You're either going to be an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer. That's all you're expected to be.
Sounds like Asian parents.
Well, I mean, Iran is still in Asia, so we're technically Asians. Yeah, so I went to high school. I loved my math. I loved my chemistry. And I always was enjoying mathematical questions in chemistry. And with the same attitude, I went to my counselor in the high school, and I said, like, what major is good for me for the college? And he recommended me to go for petroleum engineering because that has chemistry and mathematics. And I was like, okay, that's fantastic. It's best of the both worlds that I like, and I get to do both of them at the same major. And I go to petroleum engineering and I realize, oh, it has nothing to do with mathematics or chemistry. You know, as engineering is, we're just trying to solve problems. We just try to experiment, try and error, and make it work. And that's what I learned. And I learned the more practical version of the science and engineering. And at first I hated it. I was very lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And the first year of my college years was just a learning phase. But eventually I found myself and I was like, I set the goal. I was like, I want to go to United States and continue my studying in petroleum engineering. And I chose petroleum engineering also because I knew a lot of my friends and students that I knew get this major and can come to US easily and work in the United States and oil and gas industry. And actually in Texas, a lot of Iranians run the business. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, and I really raised my grade and I really worked hard. And finally, I got to the point that I wanted to apply and come to US, and Obama put a sanction on Iranian students cannot come to United States and study petroleum engineering. And I was like, do you guys know? Yeah, I was like, do you guys know us, man? Like, we just want to come and stay. Oh, because the rationale they had was, you're going to come here, steal our secrets and take it back. And I was like, I'm just going to come here and stay here and have a life here. Like every other immigrants came to US, like we're all coming for a better life and better opportunities. And that's what I think the true message of United States and what has made America great through all these years. And it's still, I think it's the greatest country in the world and is the most evolved country and organization that we have made in the whole world. But anyways, at that year, I was a little bit disheartened. I was like, what should I do? I heard from some friends that you can go to, with the petroleum background, you can go to environmental engineering and work with the groundwater. And I was like, okay, let me try my chances. And I had a friend wanted to go to UC, apply to UC Irvine, and I never heard from Irvine up to that point before. And he was like, yeah, I know a guy, we can get our applications back door and get admitted. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And we applied, he didn't get in, I get in. He went to Texas eventually, but I came to UC Irvine and thankfully made work with one of the greatest advisors in the groundwater industry, Dr. Russell Detweiler, and he really guided me through my thesis projects and connected me with my former boss at Rubicon Engineering Corporation. And that's another story how I got the job to Rubicon, but I'm not going to bore you too much with getting into the details.
But it sounds like it was almost a twist of fate that you went from, you know, what would have been a career in oil and gas into something that's a little bit more, I guess, saving the world type of thing.
That's exactly true. Like, that's how I felt. Like, as I said, when you reflect back to the moments and you're like, damn, at the moment you're like, damn, I really wanted to go to US. Why they did that? Why they put this sanction in place? Mm-hmm. And then you reflect back, you're like, oh, it's because you wanted a career in groundwater industry. You really enjoy solving your clients' environmental and hydrogeological issues. And instead of, as you said, like instead of making the planet dirty and damaging the environment and air that we, it's the most precious wealth that we have. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to save it, mitigate it, and contribute as much as I can. You know,
right?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about how did you come about inventing the excavator program?
Well, again, you never know how life plays the pieces and puts the pieces together. So I reached out to my former boss, Dr. Mohsen Mehran. He's a great name in the environmental remediation world, he's been a professor at Berkeley, professor at UC Davis, and published tremendously and contributed tremendously into the groundwater remediation world. Anyways, I reached out to him and I was like, Dr. Mehran, I'm looking for jobs. And he was Persian. I was Persian. I wanted to make that connection through that. And I was like, I'm looking for jobs. I'm interested in groundwater and what do you have for me? And he was like, I don't have anything at the moment. I'll keep you in mind. And then I go through the immigration problems that I couldn't find a job because I passed my OPT time. And I received, about a year later, I received a call from Dr. Mehran. And he's like, Mr. Fakhartoussi, I have a project for you. Can you do it? And I was like, yes, Definitely. What is it? And I even heard the
problem. Did he even ask?
Like, no, I was just like, I can't do it. Whatever it is, I just do it for you. And he was like, yeah, we have a mathematical problem that we get the data from the lab, this huge Excel file that has all the concentrations in various depths. And we wanted to kind of like automate the generation of the map for excavation. So we don't have to go manually put the lines to use the two-third rule that is a common rule in our industry and calculate the area and depth of excavation. And we wanted like kind of digitize that and make that a computer program. Can you do that? And I was like, yes, sure, I can do it. And he gave me about a couple of weeks. And I sat down with, I had a couple of friends, Mr. Ata Akberi. He was a very great friend of mine at UCI. And he was a great programmer in MATLAB. And he was doing a lot of machine learning and hydrology and meteorology. It's a hard word to pronounce, but anyways.
Yes, 10 times real fast, no.
We built this program and I take it to Dr. Mehran, we present it and he really liked it. We polished it over the years. I mean, as I started working over there, but at the time I told him, hey, I'm looking for jobs. I'm available. Do you have anything for me? And I started as a part-time employee of Rubicon Engineering. And I remember one of the first assignments, they sent me to a field in Ventura and I had to collect the samples, do the soil boring logs and write the fill out the field notes, film forms. And it was a lot of exciting and high intensive work that I had to learn and do. But over the years, I gradually showed my interest to learn more, and I was able to learn more and communicate well. And throughout my career, I learned that communication is the key to your success and growing fast in your career. Mm-hmm. Because if you are able to communicate, I mean, as a consultant, what we do. Our job is to communicate what has been done in the field, what we're doing and how we're going to fix it or what are the issues and all of that. And if you're able to communicate all of these things with your client, with your colleague, with your staff or boss, then you're going to be doing great and grow as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And now I realize why they have it in any job description, having a strong written and verbal communication skills. It is really valuable skill set to have.
Yeah. Well, you did you know a lot of English when you first came to the United States?
Well, before coming, we just had those, couple of courses in high school or middle school, as everybody takes like Spanish or French in US. Mm-hmm. And learns nothing, you know, or you forget afterwards.
I resemble that remark. Oh, I took Latin though, so honestly, even if I did know Latin, what that's kind of irrelevant.
That's pretty hard. Yeah, it's pretty hard to remember. But yeah, no, a year before coming to US, when I was very determined that I want to come, I was like, let's dedicate our time and let's sit down and learn more. And I dedicate a lot of my English to the show Friends. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. I probably watched each episode more than 10 times because it really, I mean, first I started watching it with Farsi subtitles, and then I saw it with English subtitles, and then I saw it without the subtitles. And every time I was listening, I learning something new, and it was good to learn them like semi-televisionized American culture. But more than that, in the first 6-7 months when I came to US, George Carlin, he contributed a lot to my listening abilities. And, you know, this guy with Brooklyn accent from New York talking super fast and kind of like reading his books on the stage. And I was having his 1 hour specials in my ears at night and kind of like listening to him through night until I fall asleep sometimes to his voice, you know? So yeah. And I picked up a lot of his views at the time. Mm-hmm. To be honest. Yeah.
Well, and you also learned about the 10 words that you can never say on television. You learned some salty language there.
I say them all the time. So I don't think I learned about that. But
the influence of George Carlin.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. Yeah. But I really saw American culture through his lens. And I kind of like coming as an immigrant, kind of very much agreed with a lot of things that he was seeing in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, like kind of seeing some things that is like, hey, why are we going so fast? Why capitalism? I mean, we love capitalism. We love the things that we have, but we need to slow down. We need to take care of our people. We need to make sure that we're not hurting others. We're giving everybody respect and the love and the appreciation they deserve, you know?
That's a pretty good lens to view America through, you know? And I mean, he was also pretty unsparing in criticizing what needed to be criticized. But hey, so what are some of your projects that you're working on right now?
Well, as you know, we started building a new department at ATEC Consulting. ATEC has been around for 20 years, and we've been doing environmental consulting, mainly building sciences and industrial hygiene services, meaning safety and hazardous material inspections and all of that. But I'm bringing my experience at Rubicon to ATEC to establish their engineering and water resources department. And the type of projects that we're providing is all aspects of environmental remediation, sampling, investigation, to hydrogeological investigation, well construction, modeling, and you name it, we can do it. But we kicked off our department with a couple of projects. One of them was a UST removal underground storage tank removal project for a gas station that is being renovated in Pasadena. And it's been going on for a month, and we're providing all the sampling on the environmental compliance that they need to do, and we're in the process of finalizing the report to submit to the fire department. And a lot of phase one site assessment have been coming through our door these days, and we're as you know how the growing company is, we're just having that do it attitude. You just tell us what you need, and if we can do it, we'll try our best to make it happen. And if we can do it, we'll let you know. And if we cannot, we'll let you know.
Yeah. So tell us more about ATEC. You met your boss at your first business conference, and I believe if I recall correctly, she started the business with her husband, sort of like a kitchen table exercise.
Yes, very true. I mean, as every great business starts, they start in their garage. So, over the years, Cassandra has contributed a lot to development of ATEC and building this fantastic organization. I'm telling you, like, some of the aspects I learned over the years from working with ATEC and partnering with ATEC was the organization that they have built and the attention to technology and how tech savvy these guys are. And because of that, I was very attracted to learn from them. And I learned a lot from them through my projects that we were working together, but eventually convinced me enough that, hey, I can probably provide a better service to my clients using ATEC resources. Because as you may know, we have built that software that is a project management software for ATEC Consulting. We call it EnviroShare, and it basically all our environmental and hydrogeological projects are conducted through this program. And we have report templates there. We just filling the data gaps, and the reports is generated for you. We digitalize all of our field forms. The technician fills up the form, and the client representative can get their data. They have access to their data immediately on a real-time basis. So these things have been so attractive to the clients that has led to our growth in past few years. And we went from a 12 people company 5 years ago to an 80 plus people company these days.
Wow.
And it keeps growing. It keeps growing, and we're interviewing people. I just had an interview yesterday. I have an interview tomorrow. So it's a mentality of a positivity and hard work pays off. Mm-hmm. That I really respect, and I about this organization and the leadership that is all about positivity. No mm-hmm. negativity has a place in ATEC's workplace, and that's why I admire, and that's why I like to be part of ATEC team.
Mm-hmm. Well, the running theme that I've been hearing ever since I've gotten to know you is exactly that. Yes, you know, I can do it. I don't even know what you're asking me to do, but I'm gonna do it. Just, well, you know, say yes and go backwards from there and figure it out. So that's so exciting. Wow. I mean, so you're now over 80 people. Do you know how much further will this growth trajectory go? You know, one of the dilemmas of any successful and growing company is the danger of losing that family feel if they get too big. Do you think that is a risk?
Well, the vision that we have, you know, we had our 20th anniversary celebration just probably like a week after I joined ATEC team. And it was very interesting, the vision that was mentioned there. And all they talked about that we have a vision of 10 branches in 10 years.
Okay.
In all over the U.S. and we believe to endless possibilities, and the sky is the limit. So as long as we're dedicated and willing to provide the best service possible to our client, then I don't think there's any problem, and we keep growing on. And that's the meaning of life, in my opinion, that you got to keep growing every day, be better than yesterday, and that's the mentality I see in ATEC, and that's why I respect it.
Yeah.
But to that regard of losing that family sense, again, we pride the company. I mean, in the language I hear from everybody in the company, we pride ourselves as being a family business, being owned by Cassandra and Robert, who are the founders, and the sons being the VP and the regional director, and everybody in the team feels like a family. They all treat each other like brothers and sisters. So, and it's not because we've been a small company and grown keeping those cultures. No, it's because that's the culture of ATEC. We cultivate that culture. We believe that you gotta keep have the back of your coworkers, your bosses, your employees, your clients. So. Yeah, I don't think that would ever change.
That's awesome. Well, Ruhi, it's what an exciting time in your journey. Not that you haven't had an extremely interesting journey the whole time, but I think you still have a lot of great things ahead of you. And I want to thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been another ENR Critical Path podcast. I'm Eileen Cho. To hear other podcasts, go to enr.com/podcasts. Or follow us on Apple or Spotify. And thanks for listening.